Thank you so much for joining us for church online this morning. At this time, we want to give you an opportunity to get connected in this service. And we want to do it in three ways. First, connect with someone else. We want to share the hope of Jesus Christ with everyone. One of the ways that you can do that is by sharing this video with others. Secondly, connect with your church. Connect with your church family by commenting below and letting us know you've joined us for worship today. You can also comment a prayer request or share your request with us at fbcwixom.org/pray so that we can pray for you specifically. Also, you can use this time to worship the Lord through your giving by using the simple and easy giving options below. During this time, we have still been able to reach out to our community and support our first responders and healthcare professionals because of the faithful giving of God's people. Thank you for your commitment to give back to the Lord. Lastly, connect with God. Would you yield your heart and mind to what He has for you today and ask Him to speak to you in a real way? So right now, let's take 60 seconds and connect in these ways. Connect with someone else, connect with your church, and connect with God.
Hi, my name is Justin Perkey. I'm a firefighter paramedic with Farmington Hills Fire Department. I just wanted to say thank you for all your prayers over the last couple months. It's been quite a ride, and the prayers are working. No one has been sick in our fire department. And we owe that to all the prayers that we get all across the country and from our church. And I just wanted to say thank you, and couldn't be happier. I'd like to pray for the service. Dear Lord, we just want to thank you for this day. Lord, we just consecrate this time to you. Lord, we just pray that your words resonate through Pastor Brad, and he's able to deliver a clear message. Lord, we just thank you for the protection you've given us. And Lord, we just thank you for everything. And Lord, we just pray for this service. We pray for the safety of our church family. And Lord, we just can't wait to be able to spend time together at church. And Lord, we just thank you for everything. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Let's worship God through song this morning as we think about who He is as our Creator, our Sustainer, our Provider, and the One who loves us unconditionally. This is a great song that keeps our perspective on who it should be, which is on God. Behold our God.
Rises to rejoice. Behold our God, seated on His throne. Come, let us adore Him. Behold our King, nothing can compare. Come, let us adore. Counsel to the Lord, who can fool question many of his words. Who can teach the one who knows all things? Who can fathom all his wondrous deeds? Sing it out. Behold our God, seated on his throne. Come, let us adore him. Behold our King, nothing can compare. Come, let us adore him. Who has felt the nails upon his hands, bearing all the guilt of sinful men? God eternal, humble to the grave. Jesus, Savior, risen now to reign. Behold our God. Behold our God, seated on his throne. Come, let us adore him. Behold our King, nothing can compare. Come, let us adore him. Sing that chorus. Behold our God, seated on his throne. Come, let us adore him. Behold our King, nothing can compare. Come, let us adore him.
Welcome to First Baptist Church of Wixom Online. We may not be able to meet together in person, but we can worship together as believers no matter where we are, and we are so thankful you decided to join us online today. Now, here are a few announcements to help you stay connected at FBC. We would like to honor all of our graduates this year. If you are, or you have a student graduating this year, please send an email to brad.stille@fbcwixom.org and let us know this week. Congratulations on this great accomplishment. If this is your first time being a part of a service at FBC, we want you to know that we are so glad to have you with us. If there's anything that we can do for you, please feel free to send us a message or email so that we can connect with you and pray for you and your family. Thanks for joining us for worship today. Our friends, Jeff and Anna Musgrave, have just released a new version of the Exchange app. The Exchange app is a great gospel presentation tool, and it comes ready with a virtual Bible study. You can even customize it for your friend and get them started right away. To learn more about the Exchange app, you can visit their website at exchangemessage.org, scroll to the bottom of the page, and click on the button that says About the App. Make sure to take advantage of this great gospel sharing tool. Discipleship is still happening at FBC, and we want to encourage you to find some creative ways in which you can still participate. Many are meeting virtually through platforms like FaceTime, Skype, and Zoom. No matter the way, we hope that you'll meet and encourage one another regularly to pray and take next steps towards Jesus Christ together. There are many ways that you can stay up to date with events at FBC. You can visit our website at fbcwixom.org, or you can like and follow our Facebook and Instagram page. Also, we just released our new FBC app. This app is a one-stop shop for info, videos, giving, and much more. Just go to the App Store on your Apple or Android device, type in FBC Wixom, and download this great tool for free. Thanks again for being a part of our online service today. Now we want to invite you to join us as we worship Christ together.
Villa Las Estrellas is a military outpost belonging to the nation of Chile, and it is situated on King George Island in Antarctica. This outpost village has a population of 150 in the summer and 80 brave souls in the winter. Sounds a little bit like the UP. It has one tourist attraction and one main gathering place. The biggest tourist attraction is the post office, because if you mail a letter from there, you get an Antarctica postmark, and that's pretty unique. The main gathering place, an inflatable gymnasium, and kids of all ages gather here for exercise, socializing, and general thawing out. But here's the most unique thing about Via Las Estrellas. It is so remote, and medical services are so hard to come by, that everyone, including children, are required to have their appendix removed before they can live there. Now, I've heard of some crazy things that you can do to cope with isolation, but this one seems to take the cake. Today, Holden is going to bring our morning message, and he's going to preach on the topic of coping with isolation. What is the Christian to do in quarantine? I know you will enjoy this timely and practical message from God's Word, and I'm sure you'll be encouraged to know that what he's going to share with us today does not involve needing to have surgery. Before he comes, before we worship together this morning, let's bow our heads and pray. Father, your power is infinite, your wisdom is infallible, and you know exactly where we are today in our spiritual journey, and you have the power to give us the victory in spite of our frailty and our fear. Today we ask you, Lord, to order this service and our lives so that the circumstances we find ourselves in would neither hinder us or discourage us. We ask that you'd stand between us and our fear. Keep us from sinning with our mouths and with our attitudes and with our actions. Lord, as your word says, let us dwell in the secret place of the Most High, where there is protection from every evil known to man. You have not given us the spirit of fear, so help us not to embrace a spirit of fear. We confess our dependence on you today, and so we ask that you would support us with your word, counsel us, and convict us as Holden preaches. Uphold us with your spirit, and Lord, don't let us just be satisfied with surviving, but help us to thrive. Help us to abound in the work of the Lord. Help us to be strengthened with your spirit in our inner man. Lord, today we give ourselves back to you. Everything we have is yours. Our praise, our worship, our music, our talents, our minds, aspirations, our dreams, our tomorrows. Lord, these are yours. We are yours. Our hearts are yours. We ask you today to change them into the image of your Son. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Appreciate that, Pastor Brad. As we continue to sing and worship the Lord through song this morning, I'd like us to focus on God and his amazing love for us, his unconditional love. We're going to sing a song called How Deep. I want to read the words of the first verse, and I want you to put yourself in this situation, because this is exactly how it unfolds. You were broken that I might be healed. You were cast off that I might draw near. You were thirsty that I might come drink, cried out in anguish that I might sing. That's what happened to Jesus so that we could have life and have it more abundantly. It's his sacrifice and his demonstration of love through the gospel. Let's sing this out. How deep.
You were broken that I might be healed. You were cast off that I might draw near. You were thirsty that I might come drink, cried out in anguish that I might sing. How deep is your love, how high and how wide is your mercy, how deep is your grace. Our hearts overflow with praise to you. You knew darkness that I might know light, wept great tears that mine might be dried, stripped of glory that I might be clothed, crushed by your Father to call me your own. How deep is your love, how high and how wide is your mercy, how deep is your grace, our hearts overflow with praise. How deep, how deep is your love, how high and how wide is your mercy, how deep is your grace, our hearts overflow with praise to you. That once was crowned with thorns is crowned with glory now. The Savior knelt to wash our feet. Now at His feet we bow.
The one who wore our sin and now
by your Spirit I will rise from the tomb where soldiers watched in vain was borrowed for 3 days. His body there would not remain. Our God has robbed the grave. Our God has robbed the
Thank you, Jeremy and Ainsley, for that special. As I was thinking about my message today, I was reminded of a rather famous, or perhaps a better word would be infamous, quotation by George W. Bush. And this quotation is quite simple. It reads this way: "I think we can all agree the past is over." Now, Bush was criticized for this comment because that's kind of what the word past means. And so this is rather redundant. But I like this quote because it actually is true, maybe wordier than it needed to be. But Bush was right. The past is over. And I think we can all agree that our current situation is different from our past situation. Certainly, I am doing a very different thing with my life, my work, even my family situation than I was just 2 months ago. And I imagine that almost everyone in our church, and in fact, almost everyone in the entire United States, is in a very similar situation. And so George Bush was right. The past is over. One of the new realities that many of us are facing is isolation. And Pastor Brad mentioned that already this morning when he gave the call to worship. And as I was thinking about isolation, I began to wonder to myself, who has really been the most isolated person on earth? Because I don't know about you, but I feel pretty isolated right now. And there's several candidates. There's actually a good Bible answer who pretty much has the championship belt in this situation, and that's Adam, because at least briefly, he was the only human to exist. So he was probably the most isolated guy. And in fact, God didn't like that, said that wasn't good, and created a companion for him. So he wasn't isolated for long. But I was thinking, who is the most modern human, or who is a modern human that was the most isolated? And there's a couple of possible options. There could have been some poor lost Polynesian who got further ahead than everybody else, blown off course by a storm, and was thousands of miles away from any of his friends or family. There could have been a merchant sailor in the 1800s, shipwrecked and marooned, and sailing on the South Ocean, far away from any settlements. Another possibility is the Scott expedition to Antarctica. Unfortunately, Scott's expedition met with disaster and they all died. But briefly, the last member of the expedition was probably one of the most isolated men in history. But I think, in my personal opinion, the guys that probably have this honor, if you can call it that, locked down, are the lunar commanders of the moon missions. Because while two astronauts got to go down onto the moon, such as Lance Armstrong or Buzz Aldrin, a third man had to orbit the moon. And briefly, he was 3,500 miles away from even those two astronauts on the moon, the most isolated men. And yet, today, I'm imagining that many of us feel isolated. I certainly do. I feel socially isolated. I miss my friends. I miss my family. I even, and this is pretty crazy, miss some of my coworkers. Now, I think I have pretty good coworkers, but you might be feeling the same way. You might even feel so isolated that you miss your coworkers. But I wonder, do you also feel spiritually isolated? Because I certainly do. I'm missing my church family. I'm missing my constant diet of spiritual teaching from the messages from Sunday school, from prayer services. In fact, I was walking the day before Easter and I remarked to the person I was hiking with, you know, it just doesn't feel like Easter. I don't feel as spiritually connected as I normally do. And that got me thinking, who in the Bible experienced isolation similar to ours? What does the Bible have to say about keeping your connection to Jesus Christ while you're feeling alone? And actually, there is someone in the New Testament who definitely experienced isolation, and that was the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, several times throughout his ministry, was in prison. But today, we're going to focus on his final imprisonment, the imprisonment that was going to lead to his death. And in that imprisonment, he really was alone. A few companions eventually made their way to him, but Paul had to deal with the same feelings that I think many of us are dealing with today. He was alone. He felt abandoned. And in fact, he was truly locked up. He couldn't leave his house, whereas we at least have that option. But that's what we're going to study today. We're going to study what Paul did in his isolation. Let's pray. Lord, as we study your word today, please bring your wisdom and your knowledge to us, Lord. We know that the Bible was written 2,000 years ago by men in very different situations to our own. But Lord, we know that through the power of the Holy Spirit, that it is still relevant to us today, and that your word has answers to our problems, even new problems that just a few months ago, I don't think any of us could have anticipated. The Bible is still sufficient to answer our questions, to help us with our problems. And Lord, work through your word today. Work through me as I speak about your word. And please give us wisdom. Help us understand what we need to do to continue to grow closer to you. Thank you for everything you do for us. And in Jesus' name, amen. Now, let's start with the historical background of Paul. And really, I think as I think about Paul's life, he's actually a guy who had a lot of experience with isolation. For example, one of the only things we know about Paul, or Saul as he was known then, before meeting Jesus on the road to Damascus, is that he was incredibly zealous for God. In fact, Galatians 1:14, Paul tells us that he was zealous for God. And yet, when we see the Pharisees in the Gospels, we know that most of the Pharisees, with a few exceptions such as Nicodemus, weren't zealous for God at all. In fact, they were mostly zealous for themselves, zealous for their own power. So even the limited things that we know about Paul from before his conversion, he was kind of on his own. He was one of the few Pharisees who actually cared about God. Now, that caring for God was totally misused. In fact, he was killing God's own people, the Christians. But he did care. And remember, we have Paul's own statements on this, inspired by the Holy Spirit. We can know that that is true. So he starts isolated. He's a passionate follower of God amidst a bunch of people who only want to get rich. And we see this again and again in the Gospels. But even once Paul meets Jesus, even once he converts and begins following Jesus Christ, we actually know that Paul then chose to go and isolate himself again. In fact, again, reading a little bit further into Galatians, we know that Paul actually went and he wandered through Arabia for a series of months, possibly years, because he needed to work through the Old Testament scripture to figure out if Jesus Christ really is the Messiah. Where is he in the Old Testament? And Paul finds Jesus all over the place. And in fact, Pastor and Grant actually went through a series looking at Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. But even once Paul came out of isolation and began interacting with his fellow Christians and working in his church, then the Lord called him to be a missionary. And we find that in Acts chapter 13. And Paul goes and he begins his missionary journey. And most of that journey is done with companions. But time and time again, Paul is thrown into prison. He was imprisoned at least three times. And many people believe he was imprisoned a grand total of four times. And I think from those experiences, because Paul wrote letters while he was in prison, or his companions, such as Luke, wrote about his experiences in prison, I think those experiences and that wisdom that Paul gave us is instructive for us today. Because again, many of us are isolated. We're home with just our families, and we're not as connected as we were before this all happened. We're not as connected spiritually. And in fact, Paul, during his final imprisonment, which is where our text from today is going to come from, was in even worse shape than all of us because he was isolated, he was cold, and he was alone. In fact, he tells Timothy all of these things in 2 Timothy. But to start with, I want to talk about Paul's pattern throughout his imprisonments, because that's the real benefit of Luke's book and including all of these imprisonments by Paul, because we're not just reliant on one example. We actually can see a pattern throughout Paul's life of how he acted when he was alone, how he acted when he was thrown into prison and had to stay there. So I want to start with probably the most famous incident involving Paul being thrown into prison, and that is Acts chapter 16. To give you a very short summary, Paul was working in the city of Philippi, and he had cast a demon out of a possessed girl, and for this he had been beaten and thrown into jail. But the thing that I want to focus on is what Paul did once he was in jail. And specifically, I want to read Acts chapter 16, verse 25. Acts chapter 16, verse 25. So after Paul has been beaten, after Paul and his companion Silas have been thrown into jail, this is what they did. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and saying praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Now, of course, you know the rest of the story. Eventually, God sent an earthquake, and the prison walls and gates were opened, and Paul and Silas didn't escape. And eventually, they're able to present the gospel to the Philippian jailer, and he gets saved. But that's not what we're going to focus on today. Today, we want to focus on the attitude that Paul and Silas had. We see here that Paul and Silas are praising God out loud. And I think that is something that's incredibly crucial for us as we're in quarantine and isolation. Something that I thought about as I was walking and thinking about how this doesn't feel like Easter. And that's that I don't sing anymore. I don't sing praises to God the way that I have been for the last few years of my life. Because that's one of the benefits of being together in our church services. We can sing. And Jeremy is a great singer. But Jeremy singing worship songs is not the same as you singing a worship song, because Jeremy is worshiping. Are you worshiping? And that's something that I came to realize. I hadn't been worshiping the way that I needed to. And as I thought back about Paul's examples, he was worshiping. Now, he didn't have any musical accompaniment. He didn't have any words to any songs. And yet he found time to worship Christ. And the thing is, I think sometimes when we think of the word worship, we only think of singing. I think singing is absolutely a way that you should worship, but it isn't the only way that you can worship. In fact, there's a lot of ways you can worship. You can be intentional about worship without singing. You can remind yourself that God is worthy. You can pray and thank God for all the things he has done. And by the way, Paul is going to show us this pattern in 2 Timothy, where we will be very briefly. So the key to worship is not just to sing. I think oftentimes we get hung up on just singing, but it's to have a worshipful attitude and do different actions related to that. And I think Paul gives us an idea of what he thinks worship is in 2 Timothy 1, verses 3 through 8. So go ahead and turn there if you'd like. Again, 2 Timothy is the last book that Paul wrote. And in fact, it's written in the last chapter, if you will, of Paul's life. Unlike his first imprisonment for the Romans, which is detailed in the end of the book of Acts, Paul in 2 Timothy realizes that the end of his life is near. In fact, he describes himself as being poured out as a drink offering before the Lord. He knows that his time is about to come. Contrast that to the end of the book of Acts. Paul's very chipper about things. He believes he's going to win his court case in Rome. We've got a very different situation this time. And yet, despite the fact that Paul knows he is going to die, he's not depressed about this. In fact, if we read 2 Timothy 1, 3 through 8, this is what it says. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. So we see here Paul is in a desperate situation. He knows he's going to die. And yet look at the language that he's employing. He's saying, I thank God. I'm remembering the awesome things that were done in your family, Timothy. God has not put in us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, of sound mind. Paul is focusing on those things that God is doing. Because at the end of the day, we know from Paul's writings that Paul understood that this world is not it. In fact, Paul was working towards the next world, the spiritual world, the world where Jesus Christ would reward his faithful action. And by the way, we can see this in Romans 12, too, which says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Because that's what Paul was focused on. He was focused on what God wanted, not what was going on in this world. And can I just tell you that we need to have the same attitude? It's very easy to turn on the news and to begin to worry because it seems like things are falling apart. Not only in the United States, but around the world, it seems like our economy can't decide if it wants to go up or down. It doesn't seem like the doctors know what's going on with the virus. But can I tell you that at the end of the day, what's happening on this world isn't what's important. It's what's happening in our spiritual battles throughout life. It's what we're doing for the gospel, not what's happening. Because at the end of the day, everything that happens in our lives is an opportunity for the gospel. And we'll get into where Paul talks about this. So we're going to put a pin in that and come back to it. But I will give you at least one example of something that I'm praising God for. And that's that I have had the opportunity this year to appreciate God's creation in a way I never had before. If you are like me, eventually you go stir crazy sitting in your house for long enough. And so I have to get out and I have to walk. And this year I've had an opportunity to watch as God's creation, God's trees, God's bushes, God's plants, bud and turn green and come out of the ground. Now this happens every year, I know, shocking, but I've never appreciated it the way I have this year. In fact, I was telling my brother that it seems like it has taken longer this year than it ever has before. And I would hazard a guess that it hasn't. The difference is that I've been able to see the incredible handiwork that God's put into it. So even despite all of the chaos that might be occurring around us, God is still faithful. God is still good. God is still powerful. And there's evidence of that all over the place, if we're willing to look for it. Another thing that I think Paul's example should tell us is that we need to worship, even on your own. Now, again, if you aren't a singer, maybe that doesn't mean singing, but it definitely means thanking God for what he's done, praying to God, having that relationship with God. Because at the end of the day, that's what worship's about. When we sing, we're singing directly to God. We're not singing to each other. We're not singing to Jeremy, although I'm sure he enjoys listening to you. But at the end of the day, we're singing to Jesus Christ, and we can still do that, whether we're together or not. But I think as Paul gets deeper and deeper into 2 Timothy, he gives Timothy instructions in case Timothy is ever in the same situation. So we see Paul's attitude in isolation, but we also see Paul giving instructions for future isolation. And I think we find that most clearly in 2 Timothy 3:10-17. 2 Timothy 3:10-17. Paul's been giving Timothy instructions. And remember that Timothy was like a son to Paul. They have a very close connection, not only spiritually, but socially, right? Paul's a father figure to Timothy. And this is what he has to say to Timothy near the end of this book in verse 10 of chapter 3. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecution, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou and the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, when I was studying this with the idea of isolation, I came to realize that verses 16 and 17 of 2 Timothy 3 actually have more meaning than I thought they did. I'm sure that we're all familiar with these verses. In fact, I remember as a kid in Awana and my brother in Truth Trackers, we learned these verses probably every year. They were on the memorization chart. And they're good verses, and we draw a lot of doctrine out of them. But look at the context here. Not only is Paul saying Scripture is good, which it is, it's good for all these things, but he's actually telling Timothy, when you are persecuted, because remember, Paul just said that everyone who wants to follow Christ Jesus is going to be persecuted, this is what you have to fall back on. Because again, Paul knows that he is going away. He's going to die. He knows this. And he says, Timothy, it's okay, because you still have the Scripture. And think about the connection to our situation. We don't have close access to our pastor anymore. In fact, for many of us, we went from hearing pastors speak multiple times a week to once. And we can't go talk to them. We can't talk to our spiritual mentors. We can't talk to our disciplers the way that we did beforehand. And if you're anything like me, you feel that lack of spiritual connection, the lack of spiritual wisdom. But can I tell you that we still have the Scripture? And at the end of the day, that's where the truth lies. Because that's what pastor does every week. He gets up and he presents truth from the Word of God. But we have access to the Word of God. It's not only Pastor Brad who has access to it. In fact, if we take Jesus seriously in the book of John, we actually know that the Holy Spirit is working through Scripture. And in fact, Jesus said that having the Holy Spirit was better than having him. I don't know about you, but that is really hard to wrap my mind around. Let me just give you an illustration of that. Let's say that we are having a revival service at church. Pastor Brad is going to be speaking from our platform, and we're going to set a big tent up in the back, and Jesus is going to be speaking there. I think most of us would probably think to ourselves, I'm probably going to attend Jesus' sermon, as much as I like Pastor Brad. But remember, if we take the book of John seriously, the Holy Spirit working through Pastor Brad is apparently better than having Jesus with us physically. Now, I can't explain to you how that works because I don't think I understand it, but I believe it. That's how powerful the Holy Spirit is. And remember that the Holy Spirit works on you, not through a physical person, but he actually works on you through the Word of God. And you have that. You have probably multiple copies in your house. You have unlimited access through the internet. It's one of the blessings the internet provides, along with all of the dangers. But you have it, and the Holy Spirit still works through you. So can I encourage you, if you're feeling isolated, if you're feeling spiritually disconnected, remember that the source of your relationship with Jesus Christ is actually the Word of God and the Holy Spirit working through the Word of God, and you still have access to it. If you are feeling isolated, read your Bible more. If you're not reading it regularly, what a perfect time to start. You might have more time on your hands than you ever have before, or you might have different time on your hands. If you're like me and not much of a morning person, you might actually have the opportunity to read your Bible over lunch break. You're home. It's not busy anymore. Read your Bibles. Because in many ways, while coronavirus is causing problems, it's also providing opportunities. And that, I think, is the final point that the Apostle Paul had for us about dealing with isolation in 2 Timothy. Let's go ahead and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 6 through 8. This is the final chapter. These are the last words that Paul is going to write, not only to Timothy, but to anyone that we know of. This is what he says in 2 Timothy 4, 6. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Paul understood that his present circumstances had little to do with his eternal reward. In fact, Paul's focus, and we know this because of his extensive writings, was on sharing the gospel, on sharing the words of Jesus Christ, of living to be more like Jesus Christ every day. We see in 1 Corinthians 9:22 and 23, to the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. I really think verse 23 of 1 Corinthians 9 is in many ways Paul's life statement. This I do for the gospel's sake. So when Paul was in isolation, why did he worship? He worshiped for the gospel's sake. When Paul was beaten, why did he then witness to those people? For the gospel's sake. Why did he undergo everything that he did? For the gospel's sake. So let me ask you, what opportunities do you have to push forward the gospel now that you didn't have before? Because that's the reality. As the country reopens, right? If you watch the news, you hear this word reopen used all the time. Christians are going to have more opportunities to share the gospel to their local communities than I think we've ever had before. At least we've had in my lifetime. Because there are problems that people are going to be facing. If we've seen the unemployment numbers, you'll know that they're very high. Those people are going to need help. They're going to need not only the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, but they're going to need love and care from people who do care. And remember, the world, it doesn't care. It might seem to care, but it's selfishness, because we know that the heart is wicked. And that's why people do things. They do good for others to make themselves feel better, but not us. As Christians, we can go out and we can care for people, because that's what Jesus Christ would do. And by the way, our church is already doing this to some extent. We have a Forgotten Harvest food drive every Friday to give food to those who really need the help. But can I encourage you that as this situation continues, there will be more people that need help. People in other churches are supporting their local first responders, the people that are actually putting their lives on the line to deal with this crisis. What can we as a church and we as Christians do to support our local first responders? And what can we do to support those without jobs? Because here's the reality. Those people that are unemployed probably won't all be going back. In fact, that might apply to you. That might apply to me. And we need to be thinking as Christians, what can we do to love these people? Because at the end of the day, by showing the love of Jesus Christ, we have an opportunity to share the gospel. Because the physical needs of people, at the end of the day, just like Paul's, not that important. But their spiritual needs are crucial. But it's really hard to care about somebody spiritually without caring about them physically. So we have new opportunities. Remember this as well, that many people are facing the reality that we are all mortal. Coronavirus seems to affect people that before were safe. They weren't affected. But can I tell you, many people are afraid because they don't know what happens when they die. And yet we have the answers. We know in confidence that if we believe in Jesus Christ, if we believe that he lived a sinless and perfect life, that he died for our sins on the cross, and we call out on him, we believe in him, we confess his name, he will save us. We have hope. And that's something that the world desperately needs. And as people stare this reality in the face, we have an opportunity to share the truth with them. I also want to remind you as Christians that the reality is this has always been the case. Let me use the example of my father. My father died when he was 52. He wasn't expecting to die at that time, and yet God was still in control. And can I tell you that coronavirus didn't catch God off guard? It might have caught us off guard, but it didn't catch God off guard. And in fact, everything that's happening is providing us opportunities to share the gospel. And by the way, in any disaster, that is always true. God is always presenting us with opportunities to share the gospel, to love others, and to grow closer to Jesus Christ. Remember, that's what Romans 8, 28 through 30 tells us, that ultimately that's what God wants for us. He wants us to conform to the image of his Son. He wants us to become more like Jesus Christ. So to conclude, I want you to remember three things from the life of Paul. First, despite the fact that we, compared to Paul, are being quarantined in luxury, we still have an example from the Bible. Again, the Bible is relevant to all of us all the time. Number two, changing our life circumstances might be a change to allow us to better share and spread the gospel. And finally, a changed life situation isn't a roadblock, but instead it's an opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, probably in a new way. So again, I think we'll conclude where we began. Again, George W. Bush said, I think we can all agree, the past is over. And it is. The question is, what are we going to do about the gospel? Lord, as we as Christians confront the world, help us to always put you first. Help us to always have the name of Jesus Christ on our lips. Help us always to present Jesus Christ to those around us. And Lord, whatever goes on because of coronavirus, please help your name to be magnified and glorified. And help us as Christians, help us as members of FBC Wixom to be part of that, Lord. Help us to put you first. Thank you for everything you have done for us. Give us strength and wisdom in the coming days. And in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Holden. As we close our service today, I'm very excited to tell you that the deacons have been working to create a plan to get us back together for worship on Sundays. And now this plan is an attempt to try to do several things at once, to obey our governmental mandates, to protect those in our congregation that are vulnerable, and to strengthen the church through fellowship. Three tough things to do at the same time. So here's what we're planning, and we ask that you be patient with us as we try to communicate with you details as well as tweaking this plan as we go out through the next couple of weeks. We're planning outdoor drive-in services tentatively for the next two Sundays, that is May the 24th and May the 31st. Now, I personally hope that many of you will come, because it is getting a little bit tiresome preaching and speaking just to a camera. However, these gatherings, we know, will not be satisfying substitutes for our normal worship gatherings. Parking is going to be limited. Our plan now is to meet in the back parking lot. And so we're asking that only one car per family come. It may be difficult to see and hear. We're asking you to stay in your car, and this is really important, and we'll remind you of this via email, but we're asking you to stay in your car. Our church family ranges in how they feel about the coronavirus. Some feel like the whole thing is a hoax. Some are afraid. Some are truly vulnerable. And so even if you think it's a giant hoax, it will unnerve others and concern them if you are out of your car. So we ask you to stay in your car. A few of us, of course, will need to be outside running the service, but everyone else will be asked to stay in their vehicle. Now, all of this will be subject to changes in the weather or changes in the rules, and we will try to keep you posted. Tonight, the deacons will be meeting to put together a detailed plan, and we will email that out to you. And so I would just ask you to pray for them as we do that this evening. Please check your email regularly between now and next Sunday for updates and details if you plan to attend. Hopefully, we'll be able to start gathering here in the auditorium in June, but we will let you know as time progresses. Until we see you face to face, we pray that you will stay well and be blessed. We'll see you soon. God bless.
Thank you for watching this video of one of our recent services. It's a pleasure for us to have you join us from a distance and join our church in a time of worship around the Word of God. The most important message that we can tell you is that God loves you. And He loves you so much that He gave Jesus Christ as payment for your sins. And the Bible says that all that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. We want you to know that message, that true life is found in Jesus Christ. An eternal life, the opportunity to live with God forever in heaven, in spite of our sinfulness. True life is only found in Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Would you be willing to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Would you be willing to pray something like this? Lord, I know I'm a sinner, and I know there's nothing I can do about my sinfulness. I don't want to pay for my own sin, and I want to put my faith in Jesus.
I want his death on the cross to pay for my sins. I want to repent from doing things my own way and make Jesus Lord of my life. Would you be willing to pray something like that and put your faith in Jesus Christ? If so, we want to help you as you start your spiritual journey with Jesus Christ. God loves you. Our church loves you. We're glad that you could watch this message today. God bless.